right, and good morning to everybody who is here today. I'm going to get you get back to your seats as you make your way. At the same time, we'll say good morning to everybody who is online. Welcome to Colwood Church. Great to have you here as well. My name is Sean. I'm one of the pastors on this team. And how many of you are having a good weekend? Are you having a good weekend? So far, so good. The sun is out. I don't know if some of you stayed up past your bedtimes the other night and saw the beauty in the skies, telling us a little bit about our Creator. It is Mother's Day. Let's celebrate our moms one more time. Moms, we love you. We're thankful for you. It's just a great day to be at church. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. All right, let them know that you are glad. 1 week ago today, there was a documentary, no, I wouldn't even call it a documentary. It was a show of sorts that happened to be on Netflix, and it was highlighting perhaps arguably the greatest NFL quarterback of all time, and the show was The Roast of Tom Brady. I don't know if you saw this, but as I was going about my Sunday night in the next few days, I started to receive these clips about, oh, you got to see this, you got to see how bad this guy got roasted. And so I decided to dig in a little bit and see, okay, what was going on with this roast? And so as I dug in, I quickly realized within seconds, and I had to turn it off, because for 3 hours, what happened were people stood on a stage with Tom sitting right here, and they completely annihilated him, his character, his family, and his life. What was interesting about it was dehumanizing. It was very coarse in its language. It was just downright appalling. And I sat there and I asked myself the question, seriously, Tom, the greatest NFL quarterback of all time, were you that hard up for some money to have people say what they needed to say to you the way they did? I could not believe what was being celebrated on a stage about a human being. And professionals will tell us that there are certain ratios that we can be playing with, like a 3-to-1 ratio, a 5-to-1 ratio, perhaps a 7-to-1 ratio. And the ratios that they're talking about is that for every negative word that you are given, you need at least up to 7 positive reinforcements to take and to eliminate the negative one away. I just thought, poor Tom Brady, after that 3-hour showcase of what took place. And so today, what I want us to focus in on is our words. Words are something that God is intrigued about. It is something that He wants us to speak well of others and over ourselves. And words is going to become the conversation today. In fact, in our text in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul gives us a list of the things that come out of this little contraption that we have on our heads called mouths. And he wants to today talk to us about these things: lying, foul language, abusive language, harsh words, insults, perhaps a little bit of sarcasm for some of us, slander, gossip, obscene stories, coarse jokes. How many of you are excited you came to church today now? So these are the things that are in our text today that God wants us to pay attention to you. And I would say this, if any of these things that are on the screen right now are applicable to you, do not turn to your neighbor and point them out right now. But if any of these things are applicable to you, let's just say this. What we see here is what Jesus would call sin, and He don't like it. Fair? Okay, let's pray. You're a little quiet right now, but let's jump in. God, help us with this. This is something important. Of course, it's from Your Word. And moments ago, we sang a song, I'm going to take You at Your Word. If You said it, I believe it. Okay. Well, then, Lord, help us to believe this, that this is not what looks to be kingdom living. And so help us to hear how we can adjust some of these things in our lives. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So I thought it would be pretty fun if I were to sit here over the next 5 minutes and give you a list of all of the things that you are now wondering. Okay, so what fits on the list? What are the things that I can and cannot say? So are you okay if for 5 minutes I just give you every word that I know and every phrase that I have ever thought of and do that? See, some people will want that, but I do not want to get lost in the weeds of that here today. I am not a moral police for you. You need to look at the Word of God and what the Word of God says as to what is going to take place in your life. The series that we are in is called Imitate. And over the last several weeks, we've been looking at things that God is looking for us to imitate Him in. And some of you may be in the space today or online, and you don't even have a relationship with Jesus. And that's okay. I'm actually glad that you're here today, because I would still say this to you. I still think your words matter for somebody else as well and over your own life. So whether you have faith in Jesus or you do not, today I think we come to a level playing field about words and their impact in other people's lives. And I will tell you right now, the Holy Spirit of God has been convicting me personally. Over the last several weeks leading up to this moment, I have been heightened to the words that I'm hearing all around me. And I want to humbly submit to you today that I am not here today to preach at you. I've been preaching at myself and actually to prepare for this today. And I think that there are some things that we will be able to learn with each other. And I don't know if you knew this, though. I don't know if you knew that pastors even struggle with their words. It's a true story. Believe this or not. This last week, I was actually out with our pastors. I took them away for a couple of days of retreat as we were looking for, you know, God, what are you going to do in the future? And we were gone. So one of those nights, we decided to play a card game together. And through the course of that game, I was doing quite well. I was teaching a game. And then all of a sudden, there was this unnamed staff member, Tyson, who was at our, you know, who was at our table that day. And the thing is with Tyson and I, we've got like a decades long history, and we're very competitive in our gamemanship. In fact, he probably has beat me more times in games over the years, and that's just me being false humility with you right now. I beat him all the time. Anyway, that's not true either. And now I'm lying in church, so this message is for me. So, okay. But we're going through the course of the night, and I'm kind of like in my way playing my game, and I know how he plays this game. And all of a sudden, he actually starts chirping at the rest of our teammates, and he starts to reveal what I'm doing in my gameplay. And I'm sitting there, and I'm actually starting to get a little bit irritated with the things that he is saying. And finally, after one moment, I actually just blurted something out, like to the extent of, like, close your mouth or be quiet or something like that. I even, like, quoted over his life James chapter 1, verses 19, which says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Like, close your mouth. Don't say, like, and I got irritated. Then the next day, we actually went out for a supper together, and we're sitting in this restaurant, and this waitress comes, and she serves us, and as she is now walking her way, all of a sudden, Pastor Levi is like, get out of here, you little stinker, is what he says, and she's still in proximity of hearing. All of our jaws dropped wide open. We could not believe what Pastor Levi had just said, but the context is this. Pastor Levi was saying that to the wasp that was flying over his food as that waitress walked out. Nonetheless, we told him, get inside of that restaurant and go to find that waitress and tell her that she is not a stinker. We watched a hockey game. We're not even going to talk about that with Pastor James right now. Anyway, so like all of these things, words were flying everywhere. But my mother taught me, if you don't have anything nice to say, perhaps many of us should never speak again. A couple of weeks ago, I felt that the Holy Spirit gave me a picture of dentistry for our church for this series. And a numbing agent that we use in dentistry called lidocaine. And I've actually asked every single week, perhaps spiritual lidocaine is affecting us together, especially when it comes to the words that we are going to talk about here today. Have we become numb to the language and the vocabulary that comes from us? And I want to believe that all of us here today know what these words are. And I want to believe that we know we shouldn't. But can I confess to you today? I see it everywhere with people who call themselves followers of Christ, me included. So what do we do with this today? To take our list out of Ephesians 4 and 5, we apply it to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, to which he says this: a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. And if a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. See, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. Let me say that again. You and I must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word we speak. Who's excited for Judgment Day? Because I sure am not. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Okay, Jesus, I see what you're doing with this and with the words in our vocabulary. So I don't know if you've heard of this phrase before, but it went like this: sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Can we just cut to the chase here? That is the most lazy piece of advice I had ever heard of in my life, besides Brussels sprouts are good for you, right? Like, those two things, like, honestly, let's do this. But this is what I know about that statement: sticks and stones will only break your bones, but words will break your soul. The power of our words is important to Jesus, and he wants us to investigate what is coming out of this thing on our heads. What are we saying? So what I would like to do with the text out of Ephesians and Matthew chapter 12, I'm going to give you a walkaway sentence today, and it is this: your fruit and root will clarify the way you contribute. Your root and fruit will clarify the way you contribute. So Jesus, what do you have to say about our fruit? First point today is the fruit of the matter. See, you and I today, we are identified as people by the fruit that we produce. The reality is we have an ability to create good fruit, or we have an ability to produce bad fruit. One of the primary external indicators that we're talking about today is how we speak to one another. Our list in Ephesians chapter 4, 5 showed us the topics of lying, of gossip. It continued with unwholesome talk, our sexual, our coarseness with there. Some of us also translate that into keyboard heroes, and we go to our social media rambling and ranting when it's not necessary at all. And in fact, we even do this with this thing called euphemisms. I don't know if you know what euphemisms are, but they are substitute words. We have made substitute words in our lives for a really long time. We grew up, you could never say the Lord's name in vain like God, and so you would use the word gosh. Or instead of hell, you would use the word heck. And I could go on and on and on. So we use these euphemisms, these Christian words, so to speak, that we replaced actually what we really want to say anyway. And so we used all these things. The other day I was in a different restaurant, and this gentleman was sitting at his table, and every other word, it felt like it was an F-bomb. And I'm like, there is nothing more frustrating than to be in a public space and the company that I was with, and this guy is just going on and on and on. And it was that subtle reminder of what I heard him say, because it's one of the most irritating words to me, that the Holy Spirit is like, hey, Sean, remember the euphemism you've used for that before in your life? And so, like, for the record, and before we go on any further today, please do not tell my mom that I'm actually about to share this illustration with you, because I'm going to probably get in a lot of trouble. And it is this: because instead of the F word that I would use, I actually created my own words growing up. Words like flip or flick. Frick. That's a better one. What would happen when I actually used those words? My mom would come alongside of me, and she would flick me. In fact, I would bring friends over to my home, and when they said it, she would walk up to them. They're thinking, oh, Mrs. Chapman's going to give me a hug. Flick. And she'd hit them. She's even flicked my wife, actually, with things. Like, this is a real deal. So, Mom, do not listen to, I'm sorry, okay? Like, I'm just going to repent of this right now. But we've used these all around. So, here's the question I have for us today. Does anybody here like fruit? Anybody like fruit? Nobody? Couple of people? Because I actually brought some fruit today to help us illustrate something that is really important. I brought two bowls of fruit. Great fruit. I got this one bowl of fruit. Looks pretty good. This one, though. I mean, this takes the cake. I mean, Chad, if I could offer you some of my fruit, I'd give you this bowl. Right? Like, I'm just saying. This is the thing. But what bowl would you probably take from, do you think, today? Yeah, but you're not going to have it right now. We see with this fruit, like, it's a little bit rotten. It's probably not something that you want to eat a whole lot of, but this bowl right here, oh my goodness. This would be fantastic to eat. In fact, I really want to eat it right now, but I won't because you'll hear it in my microphone. But this idea of fruit is very important for us. And Jesus himself was actually talking about this fruit in our lives. In fact, something that you may not actually know or maybe aware of within the text is that when Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, he uses the word fruit that is bad. Somebody say bad? Bad. And then in Ephesians 4 verses 29, the Apostle Paul uses the phrase unwholesome talk or coarse or foul language. Those same words are from the same Greek word called sapros. And what Jesus does with our author today, Paul, is they begin to build an agricultural metaphor for our lives. What he was saying in sapros is that it was rotten, it was putrefied, it was corrupted, it was damaged. What Jesus is saying in our bad words or the list of things that we showed at the very beginning, what you do is you offer sapros to somebody else. How many of you would love to give this to your guest that came to your house? How many of you would like to give this to that colleague in the workplace? Maybe some days, you know, if we're being honest. But this is what we begin to offer when it comes to the bad fruit that is represented in our lives. You know what I know about this fruit bowl that I hold in my hands is this, is that this fruit, it does not nourish me ever. In fact, if I were to consistently eat this, it would make me sick. In fact, that there are starting to be smells from this bowl that indicate that it is bad. It then begins to corrupt the space that is around me. And if the consistency of bad fruit is happening, perhaps it's an indicator that the tree or the branch or the bush is actually diseased and it is producing something that's not good. The fruit of the matter is that you are giving, with your words, good or bad fruit. So what bowl are you given? Are you given sapros? Are you given something that is going to bring life? And then it leads us to the second point, really where I think Jesus is trying to dig with us, but we're going to get to now the root of the matter. Sometimes our words are going to produce fruit that is bad. But the real issue that we need to understand here today is that what is our consistency, though, to the sapros? And so what Jesus does is he kind of steps into these moments and he tells us even just a few pages later in Matthew 15 that basically the words that we speak come from our heart, and that's what begins to defile you. So not only is it just the fruit that you're giving, he is now making it about us and about something that is going on inside. Relevant magazine says this, that like the Pharisees before us, many of us miss the point of this teaching completely. While we should be careful what we say, simply cleaning up our words doesn't clean up our hearts. This is good wisdom today. And what Jesus is doing in Matthew chapter 12 is he is shifting it to our motives. Like, why was that so important for you to say? what was going on in your heart that caused you to do what you just did? Now, it becomes a transfer to Jesus from the what you just said to the why we say it. It's why I had to look at what I'd said to Pastor Tyson that night and realize as I slept in my bed that night, thinking, why did I do that? Was he really that bothersome to me? Yes, he was. But it had to do with my heart, not his, although he needs work too. It was my heart that was at stake. And I'm asking myself the question, like, why is it that some Christians are so negative, hostile, and critical, and we make excuses for the way we talk? Like, it's okay, I was justified. Or the interesting part about these pieces of fruit right here is that, have you ever been bruised before in your life? Has somebody ever hurt you? Have you ever walked through a moment where you get bruised? And that's where it begins to turn the inside of the piece of fruit. And it begins to do something internally. And this then begins to be the result of what we project to other people. Our bruising is what matters as well. And Jesus has something to say about these words for our lives. Pete Cesaro in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality uses a quote, and this quote is one that I'm applying to our words. And he says this, that instead of being a 22-year-old Christian, I was a 1-year-old Christian 22 times. Like, when are we going to stop making excuses for the words and the things that we are saying? Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Jesus is interested in your fruit, but you want to know what he's really interested in? Your root. He wants the heart. He wants to know the motive and the why, the heart attitude behind the things that we do. If perhaps sapros is a consistency in your life, perhaps it's time today to actually look at the root and to ask yourself, are you diseased? Is there something there? Now, you may have bad fruit. You may have bad root. Let's talk about the third part, and it is now a matter of contribute. The text that you see on the screen is the word where we get the word sapros. And listen to what it says. Do not let any unwholesome talk, sapros, come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. See, what we like to focus on here is our bad words, the things that we consistently fail with and struggle in. But I don't really think that that is the heart of what Paul is trying to do with you and I today, nor is it what Jesus is trying to do. The text isn't trying to punctuate the negatives of our speech. It is trying to allow us to see the necessity for the positive of our speech. John Piper says that the issue is not whether our mouth can avoid gross language. The issue is whether our mouth is a means of grace. That's good. Like, this is the reason why God has given us lips and a tongue. Why he has asked us to speak of things that bring edification, encouragement, and proper help to people. Not the words that tear down. Remember those ratios at the beginning? One negative word. How much more do we have to be a people who imitate God and actually give words that bring positivity, life, and hope to everybody who is around us? Our children, our spouses, our neighbors, our coworkers, our schoolmates, the dog down the corner. For all that matters. How do we encourage and bring life? And some of us, you're so stuck here today. I'm sapros. I'm consistent to some things, and I cannot change. I'm that 22-year-old Christian, but living it over every single year. I can't change. I want to tell you today that the devil is a liar. He's a liar. You want to know what I know? It's this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse or 5, verse 18, it says, do not be drunk with wine, which come from this product, by the way. Grapes are fantastic. Do not be drunk with wine. But what does it say? Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You think that Sapros is your identity? You think Sapros is your destiny? I'm here to tell you today, no, it is not. It is the Holy Spirit of God who wants to work in and through you with your words. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23, we are given a beautiful list of the amazing fruit that comes from this Spirit that we talk about today. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against any of these things, nothing can stand. See, the Holy Spirit wants to allow us today to be a people who imitate God with the way we speak. And He has equipped us today to be able to do that. That's how good He is today. Now, today, some of us, you know what we need to do? We need to say sorry. You have been saying some things, and whether it is from all of those things on that list, but you said stuff, and it's time to say sorry. Or perhaps it's time for you to give forgiveness. You've been holding on to it because somebody bruised you, and you hold. And Jesus is saying, no, 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 let this go. I want you to know that your words today will bring a trajectory differential to somebody. I know this about me. I could use Sapros and I could rip somebody's life down in a second. And I also know that if I were to take good words and pour it into somebody else's life, I could change the course of their destiny. Not me, but the Holy Spirit through me. The Bible indicates many different ways. James chapter 3, Colossians chapter 4, Matthew chapter 5, the importance of our speech and our conduct. In James chapter 3, we are told that the tongue is a flame of fire and all it wants to do is bring destruction. Aren't you, like, seriously, your heart is deceitful, your tongue is a flame of fire. What am I gonna do? And yet the Holy Spirit says, I know your insufficiencies, I know your weaknesses, but guess what? I can, because my power is greater in you if you allow it to be. And in Colossians, I love this, let your conversation be gracious and attractive. You want to know why? It says specifically, for those that do not believe. For non-believers is why our speech needs to be this. I'm here to tell you today, if people are watching and listening to you, now, is it gracious and is it attractive? And lastly, Jesus calls us to be salt and light. And the one thing here is don't just shrug this off and think it's not a big deal. It's just my words and I'll ask for forgiveness anyway. This is a big deal. Be salt and light with what you say. Be intentional. Be quiet. Practice James chapter 1. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Don't reverse those things. And be Christ's ambassador, because He wants to use you to represent. Could you imagine if the King of England had somebody in charge of his children, if they were younger, and that person who watched over them were speaking words of hate and dismay, if they kept saying in public places how bad these children were, how long would that person have a job with the King? And yet you and I have been invited to be ambassadors of the King of Heaven. And He is looking for you and I to use our words to imitate who He is. I'll take you at your word. If you said it, I'll believe it. Help me, God, to get rid of lying, slander, gossip, swearing, coarse jokes. Help me to get rid of those things, because all I know is that it brings Sapros, and it really does suck the life out of people and you. So let's be a people today who understand our fruit, who understand our root, and know that the Holy Spirit wants you to contribute to this world as He sees fit in you. Will you stand with me today as we close? Can I ask you right now in this space, just you close your eyes. I've said a lot of things here today, but you know what? My voice is irrelevant to what the Holy Spirit needs to say. I would love for you to present before Holy Spirit right now your life. Are there words, are there motives in your heart that are not imitating Him? Ask Him right now, Holy Spirit, what do you want from me? And let Him speak to that. We believe that the Holy Spirit wants to communicate with you, so let's practice right now. You go ahead, ask Him. What does He want to work on you with this week? Let Him shine His light on your heart. Go to the root. Jesus, you know full well that we are imperfect people. And we all struggle when it comes to our words. That doesn't give us an excuse to ignore it, though. You want a holiness in your people. And so I'm asking that in these moments today, you wash off the spiritual lidocaine that we have applied to our words. Pray that you would come clean, not just our external voice, but the attitudes and the motives of our heart. That's what you're after. So from the inside out, bring change in me, in us. I pray that as we walk into this week, we will recognize that our fruit and our root clarify the way we have been contributing to society, to this world. And that your name would be praised. So Father, forgive us where sapros has been a thing. Help us to be that good tree that produces good fruit. And help us to walk into this week with the confidence that your Holy Spirit is the only way we're going to be able to do this anyway. So help us to rely on you, Spirit of God, is my prayer. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if you are here in this space and maybe you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's an indicator on the screen right now that says text the word life to 250-478-7113. We'd love to walk alongside of you to help that journey out. We love Jesus here, and guess what? Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for you, and we want to explore that together. Moms who are in the space today, we love you. Thanks for being awesome. There is a photo booth that is set up in the back. You got to utilize that today. Take a picture with your clan. Remember that if you want to be at the dessert night, this is the last week. Sunday, tickets are cut off. And so make sure you get that done. But let's go into this week, everybody. Let's be some good fruit. Amen. We love you. Have a good week. We'll see you next week.